We certainly hope it's not a trend. What you've seen happening in Sudan and in Thailand now, where a former Lao Hmong leader has been sent back to Laos, both extremely worrying. I think what's happened in Australia is a different set of concerns there. There you've had a group of people who have been interviewed, processed at sea, and then sent back to Sri Lanka there. So at the moment, and in the absence of further information on that particular case, we still have to determine whether what happened was in accordance with international law. But nonetheless, there are serious concerns about it.
What is the procedure that is to be followed when somebody claims asylum?
If you claim asylum, and let's face it, we all have a right to seek asylum. That's a fundamental human right of every one of us. If you're seeking asylum, you have the right to have your case properly heard and assessed. So that is the very important thing that happens, that initially your case is heard and assessed. And if it's confirmed that you need what we call international protection, then you should be entitled to the protection of the state you're in against return to your country.
What situation would necessitate one seeking international protection?
Around the world today, there's more than 50 million people who are forcibly displaced. Amongst those are refugees of about 10 to 15 million, if you include the Palestinian numbers. These are people who are fleeing conflict. They may be also fleeing other types of persecution. That can be political persecution, religious, membership of certain groups, and so on. So there's a number of grounds under which you might be a refugee. But the big problem, the big reason causing so many forcibly displaced people so many asylum seekers in the world today is conflict. There is a high prevalence of conflict worldwide. That's being reflected in these very high numbers of asylum applications and internally displaced people that we're seeing.
What does the 1951 Refugee Convention state about people who seek asylum?
The 51 Refugee Convention is an international framework designed to ensure that if you have to flee your own country, that there is a form of protection that can apply to you when you're outside your country. And remember that you only become a refugee once you've fled across an international border and have your status as a refugee confirmed through a process. A fundamental principle within that is that you don't force people to go back against their will. If someone has a need for international protection, they should be kept safely or looked after safely or provided with a new life where they are.
And are there any sanctions that can be imposed on states or governments that continually send back people who've claimed asylum?
Certainly not in the Refugee Convention. This convention is more aimed at ensuring that you or I or our families and our loved ones, if we have to flee, that there are mechanisms in place under an international law to protect us, to look after us. When it comes to violations of international law, well, then that's something that governments have to account for amongst international opinion.
And where does UNHCR comes when people cross borders and claim asylum? Where does UNHCR come?
Depending which country you're in. In some countries where you're fleeing conflict, you're considered when you cross a border to have prima facie refugee status. In other words, you're recognised to be a refugee because you and so many others fleeing that place are likely to have a valid claim. In other places, what happens is when you arrive in the country and register your claim for asylum, then you go through a process, which means you have the right to lay out your case, have that listened to, have that be properly assessed, and if you're found to have a valid claim, then to enjoy refugee status and the protections that go with that. UNHCR's role varies from country to country. In some countries, it's the national authorities who do the refugee status determination. In other countries, where that capacity is lacking or the authorities have a wish for us to be involved, that's where we get involved in that process. But also around the world in conflict zones and neighbouring countries, we are there to provide aid for people who are coming across, to make sure that both that people are looked after when they immediately arrive and also to address their urgent needs both then and in the ensuing months and sometimes years. I think one point is worth remembering now is that increasingly the amount of time it takes before we can find solutions for refugees is growing. On average, you may remain a refugee for 17 years. Now, clearly that's unacceptably high level. We want to find quicker routes to solutions and we need the support of states for that. And those solutions, they can include returning to your country when it's safe to do so. They can include settling where you are if the country allows, or they can include resettlement.